Good morning or good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Calling All Real Estate Investors. You can reach us at info@ridgelendinggroup.com, or you can always give us a call at 855-747-4343. That's 855-74-RIDGE. During today's live call, if you have any questions throughout, please pop those in the chat and we will answer them as soon as possible. And today's call is going to be over discussing the pros, cons, and tips of investing in remote real estate. So I'll hand it on over to Shaylee Ridge.
Hi, guys. Thank you, Ms. Carly. We have a nice, intimate group again. Hey, I want to just quickly, for those that are here with us today and then maybe listening after the fact, my quick announcement, I'll probably expand on it at the end. We are going to be halting the Live with Shaylee's. We were doing it every Tuesday. Then I pulled it back to every other Tuesday. And to be honest, gang, it's more effort than I have enough to be prepared for. And I feel like as a result, what I'm able to provide for you does not quite give you the experience that I expect or that I want. So instead, we're going to come up with an alternative. Maybe once a month, Carly is actually putting together a survey to blast out for everybody and asking what kind of content and how often and some different things. But it'll probably be once a month live with me one afternoon where it's just open to questions. It's not going to be topic driven in advance. Probably it's just going to be, hey, show up at 1 o'clock on the third Thursday or something like that. And pose your questions. And I can just be here for 10 minutes or 15 minutes or whatever it ends up being. And I think that we're going to end up doing it that way. Because what we're finding is again, the participation at the time that we set these is usually pretty light, like it is here. However, we get quite a bit on the YouTube channel where people will then go back and review and do it that way. So the live with me once a month, maybe something like that. And then also within the community, and we'll talk about this at the end, we're going to be asking questions more often about what it is you guys have questions about, what is important to you on the finance side or the real estate investing side. And then I will take those comments or those thoughts and ideas from you. And then I'm just going to record on them through the week. And then we're just going to post them. We're going to send them out in newsletters every Friday, stuff like that. So questions, if you have them as they come up, keep them coming. I will just maybe record 15-minute little vignettes or segments that touch on it or whatever it ends up being. And then you guys will have it at your disposal and fingertips to watch when you want, how you want, blah, blah, blah. So this is going to be, sadly, Jag, hi, my friend. We have some of our regulars here. This is probably going to be the last one that I do on Tuesdays at this 1:30 hour, but we will have replacements that I think will be even more valuable to you. Okay, enough of that. And for those that may have noticed the deeper voice, I'm sounding a little bit more mannish than I might normally. I contracted COVID last week, so I'm on the mend, but yeah, I sound funny. I was talking to a customer service, I don't remember what it was, the other day on the phone. I had to make a call for something, and a couple times throughout the conversation, she called me sir, so I knew that something was up when I got that. So apologize for the voice. Okay, remote real estate investing, the pros and cons, and maybe a couple of tips. I did not have an opportunity to go through and make sure that I had exacting bullets, so I'm going to wing this a little bit. I do have the newsletter that went out last week, so I'm going to kind of dovetail off of that. First of all, I want to start by saying when we talk about remote investing, some people are very, very comfortable with this, and they've been doing it from the onset, or maybe they kind of eased into it, whatever it may be. Some people don't have any issues with it, whereas others are very hesitant or apprehensive to purchase investment properties sight unseen. And I get that. When I was first getting into real estate investing and people were telling me that, you know, you can invest in Mississippi or Alabama or wherever, I was in Arizona or California, wherever I was, I'm thinking, okay. Now, if you're not working with a turnkey, it becomes a little bit more dicey, right? You've got a lot of extra due diligence you need to be doing on your own. If you're working with a turnkey, you've got some semblance of comfort knowing that the relationship one-on-one there is something that you've already forged and you feel comfortable with them and what they've been providing you and information, et cetera. But for those that are not super comfortable with the idea of investing sight unseen or out of state, for whatever reasons it may be, maybe they want to have boots on the ground. They want to be able to touch and feel and see it. If something happens, they want to be able to get to the property, all of that kind of stuff. I would just offer my opinion in that you will be at a disadvantage to have all your eggs in one basket. And if that basket happens to be in your backyard, okay. And I think that that's fine to get started for investors. But I think long-term, you really will be at a disadvantage if you're not interested in that diversification piece for market. Now, when I talk about diversification, I'm going to spend some time on that. It's not just about where the properties are located. I'll dig into that. But I personally had my experience with just having too many eggs in one basket over the earlier part of my career ended up being a real problem. I lost big in that case. And if I had diversified a little bit in different markets, I would have fared better, I think. So for those that are really just kind of stuck in the one market that they may live in, I'm going to share that you should start to broaden your horizons and do your due diligence, do your education, find a turnkey if that is your comfort level, or do the extra work to do it yourself. Because I'll promise you, at some point in your real estate career, it's very likely that that market, if all of your real estate is in that one little space, you will come up shorthanded. It could be more problematic than not. I mean, there'll be issues, is I guess what I'm saying. So consider that. Okay, so back to just the remote side of real estate investing. The first thing that I'm going to say is that I strongly suggest you guys come with or identify what your core strategy is. And everybody's going to have a core. If any of you has spent time with me on one-on-one certified power buyer, where we spend time talking about the education and going over your goals, some of this might sound like repeat, but I really, in one of those first calls that I have with my clients, I really like to dig into what is their short and long term. What are they into this, like the next 12 months? What are they trying to accomplish? The next, you know, 5-10 years, what are they trying to accomplish? And the core strategy, it's very useful for them to at least come with some basic outline of what it is that their objectives are. Maybe that's just single family residence. Maybe that is short-term rental only. Maybe that's Class C student housing, or whatever it may be. They're going to have a core. And I think that that's great to maintain that. But my overreaching advice, and this kind of plays into what I was saying a second ago about the market, is really about diversification. Okay, diversification, not just in market, but in property type, in strategy, long-term, short-term, mid-term, single family, 2-4, A, B, C, cash flow versus appreciation. That's a big one. But once you've identified what your core is, I think you should really start to consider layering in some of the other available profit centers of real estate. And as that kind of plays into our conversation today and remote investing, once you've got your core, right, your core objective for real estate, then you can kind of open up to some of those other avenues and how that remote investing may play into this, because not all markets are created equal. Anybody that you're talking to, that you ever hear speak or that you read about, makes a blanket statement about the nation as a whole for real estate. And they say things like, you know, real estate market is crashing, or, you know, whatever the headline is. Either it's just clickbait shit, or it's they don't know what they're talking about. So you want to be real informed about the different markets and where you're going to be and why do you want to be there. So if your basic philosophy is, I want single family residence, I don't want anything sexy, I just want single family long-term rental. I want my price point to be between 150 and 200,000, and I don't care about appreciation. I'll probably argue with you for a second, because I think that that's going to be a little bit limited. And that's where I would start to advise that we want to layer in some, 10, 20% of your overall portfolio into some alternative means of investing. But if that's going to be your core, you're going to find the optimal, the highest use for that particular strategy, single family, long-term, straight cash flow, no care about appreciation. Those are going to be in very specific markets, and it's not going to be just one market. You may be able to find that in other remote markets. So just as kind of a baseline to get us started here, I think that I would be looking at it in those terms. And then if you decide to forge out beyond some of those variables, then we can start talking about different remote markets that can accommodate. There are markets, of course, that can probably provide a variety of objectives or variables in one. Florida, for example, might be one of those where, you know, inside the state, you're going to be looking at higher cash flow maybe than you would appreciation, right? The coastal areas of the United States typically are going to have the highest appreciation. And on average, as a rule, there's exceptions to all rules, as you guys constantly hear me say, the higher the appreciation, the lower cash flow, and vice versa. So when you start to talk about your core objectives, just note that very often you're going to be picking between cash flow and appreciation. An exception to that rule would be Illinois, parts of Chicago and different parts of that state where I've seen really great high appreciation, but also very substantial cash flow. So there's a quick sidebar and exception to that. So let me bring us back. So remote investing, finding out what your baseline objective is, make sure you have some diversification in there, guys, because it's going to be important for long-term success, I believe. Even if it's only 10% of your overall portfolio, you do want to pepper in. Most of the people I talk to are just dead set on just cash flow. Now, I don't disagree. It still needs to cash flow, but that doesn't mean that you shouldn't identify properties that might be outside of your normal market that you're interested in, that's going to give you a bigger bang for your buck on the appreciation as long as it cash flows. Now, it's probably not going to cash flow as well as some of the ones in Indiana or Alabama or Oklahoma, but you're going to have the upside of a longer burn or a longer play appreciation. Okay. All right. So when we talk about, let's get into kind of some of the logistics and the nitty gritty. Okay. I got to watch the clock because I've got a 2:15 meeting with my team. So when you've figured out which markets, you've started off by saying, this is my core objective. These are the markets that I think I'm going to find this in. Be open-minded. Always kind of keep your eyes open for other markets that might offer similar returns that your core strategy is based off of. But when you're considering the different locations and the risk and spreading that around a little bit, one of the ways in which you can find data on crime or the labor markets and things like that are going to be from a title company. Now, you guys aren't necessarily going to have access to this, but we do. And you're welcome to always email and say, hey, here's this property address, this one particular property I'm interested in. Now, that if you're working with a turnkey, they should have something similar. What we have access to is straight from county records. So it's not... it's straight data. Let's just say that it's not layered in with anything having to do with sales. Okay. I can't think of a better way to say that. So it's called a property profile. We get this from the title company that we send all of our business to. They're free for us. So if you guys have a property that you want to get some demographic, whether, like I said, it has to do with industry or crime or school, schooling, all of that kind of stuff. We just need the address. We will plug it in and then deliver you with a report that's highly customizable, actually. So chances are whatever data points you're looking to get for a particular property, we can probably customize it to provide some of that information. Otherwise, you're going to have to do the Google search and figure out if any particular remote area, if you're coming from California, for example, and you're looking at property in Birmingham, Alabama, okay, and you don't have a turnkey and you're going to try it. And even if you do have a turnkey, I think that it's fair to say that you want to have some of your own due diligence, right? Now, granted, I think most of the turnkeys that I know of and that I work with are very trustworthy. Ridge doesn't really align itself with turnkeys that you know, do anything other than above board. But actually, Jag has an example. She may not want to share, but she had, I think it was a turnkey and a very poor experience. And I would go as far to say is that it was beyond misleading, right? What she had gotten into with that turnkey. So the extra, and I don't know if it was from a referral from somebody else. But even if the information you're getting is from a source that you have gained a relationship with and trust over a long period of time, I think that's wonderful. Those are, I mean, amazing, good as gold relationships. But you still, as an investor, it's your money, There's absolutely every incentive to make sure that you are doing your own due diligence. What if by no intent, they miss something that is important to your metric for rate of return on this investment? You really need to be doing that homework every single time on every single property to ensure that you're getting exactly what you think you're getting in the return. What's written on a piece of paper doesn't necessarily yield exactly as it's being displayed. Okay. So, all right, let me get back on track again. The property profiles, if you guys are interested in certain areas, certain markets, when we're talking about high growth, all those different things, let us know. We can run those for you pretty easily, and it should have all the information that you need. I talked about appreciation. Let me just double check my cheat sheet. That's not on that. You know, yeah, let me touch on that. So if you're going to be investing out of state, I'm sure that you guys can guess where I'm going to go with this as soon as I say it. What is probably the number one priority? If you're going to find a property and it checks all the boxes, it fits all the metrics, it's great. It looks like it's going to be wonderful. What's the number one? This isn't a trick question and it's rhetorical because I'm going to answer it for you. What is the number one thing you need to be prepared for or trust to make sure that that investment is going to be a successful one? Above rate, above everything, I believe it's going to be the property management. And we spent a lot of time within these Live with Chaley conversations talking about property management. Yep, that's exactly right. PM, property management. I don't think there's anything more important. I mean, maybe there's something that's tied for first, but I think property management's got to be in pole position. And the reason for that is, I can tell you again from my own personal experience, I've had properties on paper that just look amazing, and I had the wrong. I'll give you an example. It was Norfolk, Virginia, and the property manager just sucked. And I was just now getting into this. I didn't really have a lot of mentors. I was just kind of going with the flow. I had the cash. And at the time, you only had to put 10% down. Very different platform then. It turns out we had someone within the property manager in that organization had an employee. I think it was a son or daughter or friend of a son or daughter or something that was letting friends inhabit the properties. So the laws of Virginia are at least landlord friendly. So it didn't take me all that long to get them out of there and evicted. But at the end, when I had to go back in and pick up the pieces and clean up the mess, there were hypodermic needles in the yard and inside the house. They took the copper plumbing out of under the sinks and things. I mean, it was a complete and utter shit show. I think that it ended up costing, I don't remember, this was 20 years ago, but it was probably at the time 20 grand. So it was a pretty big deal. And because I didn't vet it properly, it was on me. Who else do I have to blame? It was on me. So property management is a huge indicator of how that property is going to run. You guys have seen probably ad nauseum the checklist that I have. I give to my clients of questions. By no means is the checklist complete, but it's a good starting point. If you want to raise your hand, if you haven't seen that, let me know. We'll send it. There's not enough of us here. We can send it to you individually very easily. But it asks those questions that you want to have answers to by your property management. You want to feel confident that the way in which they're answering, it breeds confidence, right? If they're hemming and hawing about what the tenant or landlord laws are, or what is the eviction process, if they're not clear as a blade and say, this is exactly the process that we go through to start the eviction, something's wrong. You'll know. I mean, you know, use your gut. But things like vacancy, what is their vacancy rate? If they say it's over 5%, I'd want to have another conversation. The lower the vacancy, obviously, the better. What is the average term of lease that the property manager has for most of their tenants? Is it 6 months? Is it 12 months? They should have that metric. They should be able to answer it very quickly and very clearly. So out of state, I think the most important takeaway from this conversation here is going to be that property manager. You really want to make sure that they know what they're doing. And even if the property manager is in-house, for those that are using turnkey, if the turnkey company has their own division for property management, I'd still be having that conversation. And if it's a satellite or an affiliate or just someone that they refer to, similar, I'm going to have that conversation. And I'll tell you something else. I would even have a backup, right? So let's say you're going to go with this property management. And after 60, 90, even 120 days, things are going great and you love it. There's nothing to worry about. Wonderful. But in the meantime, you don't want to be 60, 90, 100 days in and it's a complete shit show. And then you have to go back and start due diligence because you're probably not going to be clear-headed. You're going to have all these other things going on. So I would have something, even just a list of property managers that you might be able to call in the event that the one that you hired isn't working out. And since we're talking about property manager, you can also always, make sure that you're checking the contract. I got caught with this one too. Exclusive right to sell. Sometimes property managers will have their agents that are in the organization. And when you sign the property management contract, it might have language that gives them the exclusive right to sell. So that if you decided to sell your property, that means that they have first right of refusal to sell that property for you. Stay away from that. I've never been a fan of that. What else on property management? There's so much. I maybe don't want to get too tied up on property management. But there was something else I was going to tell you guys. Property management in-house, if they farm it out, maybe I'll come back to it. This is something else I was going to tell you. If you're going to buy out of state, right, and you're just starting to get a relationship with a client, I assume that most of us, they're going to be investing. And if not, that's okay. But if you have the means, it may not be a bad idea to actually take a trip. There's something about, at least for the first one, maybe you're going to be purchasing a couple properties in this one area, maybe even from the same turnkey, but there's something about having that eyeball-to-eyeball connection and conversation. And the turnkeys that you would be working with, and even if you don't have a turnkey, especially if you don't have a turnkey, I'm really going to say, take a weekend, take a trip to Birmingham, Alabama, leave on a Friday or Thursday night, spend the weekend, boots on the ground, do your research. You want to try and be as prepared as possible before you get on the plane and know what you want to hit and the different things that you want to see while you're there. But with and without a turnkey, there is some value, I think, to taking a one-time trip over there just to be engaged, right? And maybe have that familiarity. And plus, for those of you that are kind of on that edge for real estate professional in the exemption within your Schedule E, that tax incentive that says that you've got to have 750 hours a year of active participation, et cetera, that would count, right? That freaking counts. So if you were to take a weekend trip to Savannah, Georgia, or wherever it is that you're looking to invest, all of those hours while you're gone will count against that real estate professional exemption. Anyway, all right, building your team. I'm cheating again. I'm building our team. So we've got, what do we have? We've got property management. We talked about property management. We have our turnkey. Legal advisors, real estate agents. If you have a real estate agent, you use a real estate agent. Let's talk about contractors for a second, for those that may be looking at fix and flip or fix and hold, or whenever there's going to be renovation included in the transaction. I think that it's going to be, this is almost equally as hard as finding the right property manager. In fact, I think finding a really good property manager might be easier than finding a really good, reliable general contractor and subcontractors. That's tough. I've only had a handful of experiences and I learned very quickly that it was not for me. I did not have the mental capacity, the patience. It wasn't a good fit. And I hear it all the time. So for investors that are wanting to include rehab where they purchase it under distressed conditions, maybe not, maybe they do, but also if they're, you know, just the cheapest house on the block, and if you put a little cosmetic into it, $5,000, $10,000, $20,000, and your rate of return beyond that is going to be exponential, right? You want to have a team. Now, if you're going to try and do that out of state, I was going to make a joke and say, God help you. No. If you're going to try and do rehab out of state and you want to, it's going to be real, real important that you vet the general contractors very, very carefully. Maybe if any of you listening to this or that are on here today, if any of you has that as an objective or a goal, maybe we should talk a little bit about it one-on-one and kind of go through some different variables, experiences, maybe not spend too much time on that because I don't know how prevalent that is with those that are here today or listening. Just call me when it comes to general contractors and rehab out of state. If you do not have your established team, let's talk about that one-on-one, okay?
Just to interject here, Michael let us know that he also checks to see if the property manager is a member of the National Association of Residential Property Managers as a tool.
Michael, okay, so Michael's going to teach us something. Hey, Michael, do you mind unmuting yourself and kind of share with us any of those details? I, honest to God, I didn't even know that there was such a database of obviously real estate agents, lenders, that kind of thing. Is that a new thing or is that, do you know?
No. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that association's been around for about 35 years now. They're kind of young. They're not a golden state, the Realtor Association or the Department Association, but they specialize in residential property management. So whenever I'm looking around the country or somebody needs recommendations in different parts of the country, I just make sure that they're I'm on my way to Tallahassee to advocate on behalf of Marvel.
Very cool. Excellent tip. Carly, would you pull that up? Maybe put the link in the chat for anybody that's listening and on the YouTube channel, please. That's fantastic, Michael. Thank you for that tidbit, sir. I really appreciate that. 25 years, you guys, and I didn't even know that there was a national database for property managers. Okay, didn't even know that. That's a little embarrassing, but hey, thank you, Michael. We'll share that with anyone that wants to gain access to it. And I'm sure that that's a very useful bit of information if you need to be vetting. And I'm sure that there's going to be chats and different forums and things that in different markets you guys can get valuable insight where it's tangible and real, tested, tried and true, right? Where you've got people that are saying that this guy this and that guy that and recommendations. I would take a minute and go over, I feel like we've just talked about it so many times, over inspections. I'll just say this. If you're not getting inspections and you're expecting the appraisal to do that work, you're doing it wrong. You need to get an inspection, especially if you're going to be going remote. And I would not also take, if you're working with a turnkey, while I'm sure it's completely valid, me personally, I am not going to take the turnkey's inspector recommendation. I'm going to go get my own. Or maybe I'll take theirs and my own and then have a conversation. And then based on those discussions and conversations, who do I feel more comfortable with? I feel like I've got a pretty good barometer or sense for, bullshit meter, right? Or just somebody that I'm more comfortable with. Anyway, get your own inspection. The appraiser is not going to do all that. If you are going to get an inspection, keep in mind that the inspector's job is to nitpick the hell out of every possible thing. And you cannot expect that, and usually they're going to be anywhere from 5, 6, 7, 10 plus pages in inspection. Do not expect unrealistically that everything on there that the inspector came up with that the seller is going to correct or cure or fix. That's not going to happen, FYI. But it is your job to get an inspection, I believe, so that big things like foundation or electrical or, the things that cost real money, safety hazards are going to be taken care of or covered or you're backing out, which actually kind of brings me to a quick point. I'm finding that clients more recently, and this is probably a deficit on our side, we're not having the conversations up front with our clients, do those in advance of getting the loan going, you guys. We don't want to deal with getting an inspection after the appraisal is done. You've already incurred the cost of an appraisal. We've got a lot of time and manpower and resources into it, which, obviously is not my first choice. If we know the inspection hasn't been done and you intended to get one, and then the inspection comes back bad, everybody loses. You've lost money on the appraisal. We've lost time. So make sure you're getting your inspections in advance of signing your loan disclosures if you can. And the last one here, and then I'll open up for whatever questions, technology. And this is a big one, especially in the world that we live in today. If you're going to be investing out of state, make sure you're taking advantage of the technology that we have access to. Jesus, Google Earth, right? You can get into your deep sleuth undercover investigator hat and find out a lot of information that you will need and want without leaving, you know, your bedroom in your PJs or whatever it is. Utilize the technology. Since we're talking about technology, make sure to your property management. I like, now some people like it more, you know, old school, but I want to make sure that my property manager has the highest use of technology there is. And the technology that's out there now can get pretty dang sophisticated. You should have your own portals and access to the costs, line itemized everything 24/7 from your property manager. So technology, let's see, what else did I say about technology? Virtual tours, management software, video conferencing, monitoring property conditions. That would be another thing that you want to expect from your property manager. So technology is going to be a big one to make sure that you're protected as much as possible, not just about the use of the property, but how you're getting paid and expenses, all of that stuff. I think that's good. I think I'm over time anyway. What do you guys have for me? Any questions in there, Carly, that would be timely to answer?
Let's see here. None in the moment. If you have a quick one, guys, pop it in there so Chaley can answer for you.
Overall, I think that remote investing is not only important, I think it's necessary for a rounded portfolio. So if you are stuck in the market that you're in right now, okay, until maybe you're brand new to this and you want to get your sea legs, I get it. That's exactly what you should be doing. But at some point, I really feel like foraging out and looking at other markets. Maybe it's another town, right? You're going to get more comfortable if you're here and you just go 50 miles down the road or something like that, maybe from that perspective. But remote investing is to your highest and best use. You just have to be smart, and you've got to have the right team around you, and you got to do your own. You got to take responsibility for your dollars and cents that are going to work for you, and do your due diligence. Otherwise, let's just finish out with Carly's going to send an email. When do you think you're going to send that, Smith?
Either sometime this week or early next. We're still deciding on that date, but yeah, look out for it. We're going to have a survey just seeing your guys' interest in live events and what type of events that you like for educational purposes with Chaley. So if you can spare a few minutes to let us know, that would be greatly appreciated. And then we can make those things happen for you.
Yes. Thank you, honey. So, I think it'll be a better platform than this anyway. And if you guys do have pertinent, it doesn't even matter. It could be 2 o'clock in the morning. You thought, I really wish I knew this, or what's the information to that, or what's the answer to this? Shoot an email to info@ridgelendinggroup.com even, right? If you don't have the survey in front of you or whatever, so that I have access to it and I can be speaking on it. And you guys will have the availability to watch it whenever you want on our YouTube channel or whatever other channels we use. I don't even know. Otherwise, as always, my friends, I will miss you. I like the interaction when we have it, but I will not miss the Four Alarm Fire at 1:25 Pacific time every other Tuesday of the afternoon. What am I doing? What am I talking about today? But I will be seeing you on the flip side. info@ridgelendinggroup.com, 9855-747-4343. You know how to get us, guys. I'll see you soon. Thanks for being here. Bye, everybody.